If you can't wait a whole month for our next episode, you can join our Patreon membership for early releases and exclusive content for only $5 a month at patreon.com/transgenderschool.
And you can rent our 90-minute course, Transgender Allyship 101, where we reenact my coming out and teach you how to be a true ally to any trans person in your life at vimeo.com/ondemand/trans ally. Welcome to the Transgender School podcast, where we talk about diverse LGBTQ identities and experiences so that we can all be better allies and advocates.
I'm Bridget. My daughter Jackie came out as a transgender woman when she was 19. I was totally unprepared, but I've learned a lot since then.
When I came to terms with my identity, I realized that I needed to transition, but coming out was very stressful. Now I want to help other trans people navigate their own experiences. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 38 of the Transgender School podcast. Today's episode is going to be a little unique in that we didn't really prepare any formal notes or script or outline for this episode. It is an interesting topic. We're going to talk about my experiences with therapy pretty early in my transition and how that was kind of a complicated, somewhat contentious process within our family. And we hope this will be a valuable conversation that can be educational and useful for other families who might be going through something similar.
I think some context would be helpful. So Jackie, can you give a little of the background information on this topic?
Yeah. So at the time I had just come out to you, I hadn't been planning to come out to you as we've talked about in other episodes, but that was kind of forced on me due to a lot of different factors. I was coming home to spend some time with you. I believe I had just finished, I think, my first year at college, I want to say. And we all agreed that I should probably see some sort of therapist. At first, I ended up seeing the same therapist I had gone to in high school who didn't specialize in trans issues. And he was thoughtful, he was helpful, but this wasn't really his area of expertise. So we all agreed that we should find someone who specializes in treating trans people, especially people who are early in that process of transitioning. And that's how we ended up finding the therapist who I would go on to see for a longer period of time.
Right. So here's where it's hard for me now to look at what I was thinking at the time, but I think it's important to share honestly, because I think a lot of parents go through this. I wanted Jackie to see a therapist in part because I was in shock and denial, and I thought that the therapist would be able to convince her that, or help her see that she's wrong about this, that she is not actually trans. In all the years since the time that we're talking about now, I have had many conversations with parents who feel that way, who say, I want my child to see a therapist because I think they're confused. I think they're wrong. They're not actually transgender. There's something else going on. There's a mental health challenge. There's anxiety. They're gay, whatever they are okay with believing. And they think, mistakenly usually, that the therapist is going to help their child uncover this. And I admit that that is what I thought. But somehow I also knew that it was important. I can't remember what kinds of sources I was looking at the time, but I was trying to read and learn. And I do remember somehow thinking it was important for you to see a gender affirming therapist, a therapist who specialized in transgender clients. I know you said that. So even though I, at this point, didn't believe Jackie, I thought she was confused. I thought there was something else going on. I didn't think that she was actually transgender. And unfortunately, I said that to her. I did recognize that it was important to find a therapist who specialized in seeing transgender clients. And so I did find someone who seemed reputable, who seemed to really know a lot about the subject and have someone who had worked with many transgender patients from what I read. And so I set up an appointment for Jackie to see this therapist. But again, remember, my secret hope was that it would be revealed in therapy that Jackie was not actually transgender.
And I think what you didn't know at the time, but we obviously know now because we do this educational advocacy and we've done so much research on these issues, is that parents want to think that their kid isn't actually trans or that this is a phase and they're going to go back on it. But the evidence shows, the best studies available show, that around 2.5% of kids, I was 19 at the time, so this doesn't even apply to me, but 2.5% of kids who are transgender actually desist in any way, meaning they change their mind or they don't identify as that gender identity they expressed as a child. So that means that over 97% of kids, people under the age of 18 who express a transgender identity, stick with that identity for the rest of their life. I imagine that number would be even higher for adults. So it was obviously a delusional thought process to think that I was not going to be trans, but it makes sense. If you're a cis person, if you're a family member of someone who's just come out and you have never even suspected that that person might be trans, that's just going to upend your reality in a way that you're not prepared for. So I think we went into this with very different expectations. My parents went in thinking, okay, good, this therapist is an expert and they're going to see that Jackie isn't really trans and they're going to help her figure out that she's really gay or bi or whatever it is that you're comfortable with me being at the time. And I went in thinking, oh, great, here's someone who's going to get it and who's going to help me transition. And thankfully, I got what I was looking for. You guys didn't, but I think it all worked out for the best.
Yep, it certainly did work out for the best. And when I think back on the early conversations that you and I had, that's an important part of this, I think, story as well, because I really pushed you to tell me about what was happening in therapy. And I would ask a lot of questions about it. And just like now, we've talked many times about the importance of boundaries and me respecting your privacy. You didn't have a lot to say, but you said enough to let me know that she was being very affirming. You definitely let me know that she believed you were transgender, that you and she were talking about how you would transition and what you would be, how you would be expressing yourself. And I think, I don't know how much you want to talk about what happened in therapy, but my sense was that she was very affirming in every way, in terms of your knowing that you're transgender, affirming that, but also helping you with every detail of how you would transition and how you would express yourself and your gender. And so can you share just a little bit of that so people know what gender affirming therapy actually feels like?
Yeah, I mean, I went into this process with a lot of self-imposed limitations. I went in thinking, oh, I'm going to want to be on hormones for at least a year before I come out publicly in any way. I'm going to want to do all of the electrolysis and do all of the things that I need to do to transition before I even come out, because I couldn't imagine being out to anyone, let alone out publicly to the whole world, without having gone through all of those processes and finished everything first. And I think that was giving me a lot of anxiety, because it was really daunting. And it was, how am I even going to do this? Where do I even start? And one of the things that my therapist really helped me with was to see those were all self-imposed limitations. I remember at one point thinking, well, I had just finished my first year at college. And so I suggested, well, maybe I could come out when I graduate, when I'm done with college. That would be a good timeline. And she said to me, well, do you not want to be out next year? Do you not want to be out when you go back to school in the fall for your next semester? And it's like, well, that's not possible. I can't be. There's no way. There's no way that would work. And in fact, it did work. And I think that in the wrong context, you might perceive that as her pushing me towards something. But in reality, it was her helping me kind of unblock a lot of those things I had imposed on myself and get where I really wanted to go, ultimately faster and easier than I thought was possible to get there. And so that was a big deal for me and really helped me along this process.
So again, it's ironic, because hearing you say that now, even, it just reminds me and triggers those memories of how my hope was that she would slow things down. My hope was that you going to this therapist, oh, she's going to ask you all these questions. She's going to dive deep into your psyche and do all this in-depth work over months and months and months to make sure you're really trans and slow the whole train down. And in fact, it was quite the opposite. You and she were clear from probably the very first session that you are transgender. There's no question. And it was just a matter of, yeah, what kind of support you needed to figure out how and when to transition. And so her support actually accelerated the process for you, which is what you truly wanted. And the only reasons you weren't going to do it in that kind of time frame was out of fear and insecurity and doubt about how to do it and if you could do it, not whether or not you were trans.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, I felt that if I could have snapped my fingers and said, okay, you're transitioned now, you're a woman, it's all done, I would have done that. But I just didn't see a way to make all of those things happen any faster than 2 to 3 year runway. So she helped me see through her experience with past clients that it doesn't actually have to take that long. And these are the processes and this is what you can prioritize. And it was really a conversation about figuring out what I wanted and what was important to me, and then figuring out how we could get there together. And I think that was a really invaluable process and something that all trans people deserve at that stage in their transition.
And that makes me want to ask you, what would you say to parents who are thinking the way I was thinking? Because here's something that I see happen a lot. Remember, everybody out there, I talk to parents every single week whose kids have just come out, either through my social networks, my friends, my family, support groups. I am doing so much work with parents whose kids have just come out. And so believe me when I say I hear this over and over and over. The parent either wants the therapist to slow things down. The parent wants the therapist to help the kids see that they're not actually trans. And Jackie, unfortunately, sometimes the parents will cut off the therapy when they see what I saw with you, which is, oh, it's being accelerated. And oh, this, if you're believing it's a delusion, oh, this therapist is fueling the delusion and buying into it. I know that's delusional thinking. It's the opposite. But we've got to deal with the reality that that's where many, many, many of the parents are, where they go at this stage, and they will, and they have. And even in her book, Dr. Pari Hasori talks about that, that she stopped the therapy with her daughter because, I don't know, she would describe it this way, but I would say because it was seemed too affirming and it seemed to be accelerating things, and so found a different therapist. And I've heard lots of stories of parents who do that as well. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that all you do if you try to pull your kid out of therapy or slow things down is harm the trust between you and your child. I mean, to take an example that's not related to being trans, but to other things I was doing when I was a kid, I lost your trust and dad's trust because I was breaking rules and doing things that I wasn't supposed to do. And I had to work really hard to gain that trust back. And I had to jump through a lot of hoops to get that trust back. And I think that at the time, when I was just starting a transition and just starting to see this therapist, our trust was really on the rocks in the other direction. I was, can I still trust these people? Are they going to be affirming? Are they actually going to help see me through this process? Or am I going to have to figure this out on my own? And so I think let's play it out. If you had taken me out of therapy at that point, I would have figured it out on my own. I would have gone, at best, I would have gone to an informed consent clinic because I'm lucky enough to live in a city like San Francisco where I could have fairly easily gotten hormones at a relatively affordable price. At worst, if I didn't live in a place like this, I might have gone online and gotten knockoff hormones that were made in some unlicensed lab somewhere in some other country and contained God knows what heavy metals and other chemicals and things. And so I think there's a lot of different realities that could have played out if you had taken me out of therapy at that point. None of them, I think, are as good or as enjoyable for me or for you both as the reality where you left me in, the one that we are lucky enough to live in today. I think that all of those other realities, we would not have the trust, we would not have the relationship we have today. And so while it wasn't necessarily an intentional choice, I think by choosing to send me to that therapist, that was actually the building block of actually regaining my trust at that point where you were not fully supportive of my transition. And had that not happened or had that been undone, it's hard to see how we would have built everything else that we built on that kind of tree of trust since then. So again, it all comes back to what kind of relationship do you want to have with your kid? Do you want to have a relationship with the kid that you wanted to have, the person that you wanted your kid to be? Or do you want to have a relationship with your kid as they actually exist? Because if you only want to have a relationship with the version of your child that you wanted them to become, they're going to be done with that eventually. And you're going to have this memory of this kid that could have been, and you're not going to have an actual live child to talk to. And not to be fear-mongering about suicide, but just your kid might not talk to you again. Your kid might be done interacting with you after that. And that's I think, a scary thing for parents. I'm not a parent, so I don't know what that feels like, but I imagine most parents would want to have a happy, healthy, productive relationship with their child. So that's kind of what's at stake here.
I think you can't overstate that. It's incredibly important for parents to be aware of. We have seen lots and lots of young people, young adults, people of all ages who are completely estranged from their parents because their parents are not affirming. Their parents will not come around and understand they are transgender. This is who they are. And you love your child. You love your child, whoever they are, however they express themselves, whatever their identity may be. And it's really sad to see so much of that. And that's why the second line of our vision statement is to keep families together. It's saving lives first and keeping families together second. Making school, work, and all spaces safe for transgender people, safe and welcoming. So I hope that this has helped people see, Jackie, through my mistakes, as we've talked about many times. This is one we haven't talked about a lot. I think that what we have talked about and we really want to draw your attention to and hope that you'll go back to is listening to our episodes with transgender affirming therapists. We've had a couple. We have two episodes. I'll link those in the notes in the description with outstanding therapists with lots of experience and trans identities, trans and non-binary identities themselves, so they understand, which may or may not be a requirement, but certainly helps, I would imagine. And those are important to listen to as well from their perspective. But I do want to point out again, not just any therapist, because I've heard lots and lots of stories. And Jackie shared, she had a wonderful therapist who did not specialize in this. And so we did need to find another therapist. And lots of therapists will say that they specialize in this, but that's not enough. It's not enough to take someone at their word on that. You've got to make sure that they have credentials and additional study outside of their MFCC or their whatever their marriage and family counseling certification is, their master's degree in therapy. They need to show that they have trans affirming training and LGBTQ therapy training.
And go online, look at their reviews. In the case of my therapist, we didn't do that. I didn't do this, at least before seeing them. But in hindsight, I've gone back and looked at their reviews, and all of the only negative reviews are from partners, parents, family members who were unhappy with the degree to which they helped their clients transition. So if those are the only negative comments you see when you're looking at their reviews, then you probably found a good therapist.
Absolutely. I could not agree more, Jackie. So is there anything we've left unsaid? I think this is going to be maybe a little bit shorter episode, but I'm really glad we talked about this. And it makes me realize there are lots of little pieces of our story that we really haven't shared at all. We have not shared this before. So I'm going to keep looking for those and think about how we can just kind of put a little magnifying glass maybe on something that's one part of the story that we've left out that is important for people to know.
Well, I think the one thing I would add is just that reminding everyone and reminding ourselves that this, at least in our experience, we're coming from a place of privilege of being able to have access to therapy at all, being able to have access to a trans-affirming therapist, and that these are privileges that largely come with living in a bigger city, having more access to liquid capital, and that a lot of people don't have those things, and that these are best practices. I think every trans person who's transitioning should have the ability to see a therapist, and that if you have that resource, you should always take advantage of it. But these are not mandatory prerequisites for transitioning, for having access to hormones. That is a really important thing, because there are conservative states that are trying to restrict access to care and using therapy kind of as a weapon and saying, oh, well, if you haven't been to this much therapy, then you shouldn't get access to hormones. And I don't think that's right, both because not everyone has access to therapy and not everyone needs that therapy. And some people really just need to get on hormones right away. And you have to trust where people are coming from. You have to trust that they know themselves best. And so please, please, please don't think this means you have to go to therapy, but that if you can, you absolutely should.
I'm really glad you are saying that, Jackie, because that is another thing that comes up a lot in my conversations with parents whose kids have just come out, is the parents want the kids to go to therapy or the young adults, whatever, and they don't want to. And I try to explain, you got to understand, they've been researching this. They've learned, they've basically probably earned a PhD in what it is to be transgender and all the different options for transition and everything you need to know. It's understandable that they would think they've already done all the work to understand themselves and what they need and how to move forward, and they've found the support they need, and groups online, support groups online, and discussion groups online. They've probably been getting so much that you have no idea about as their parent. So of course it's great if therapy is an option, and if they want to take advantage of that and can, and as Jackie said, they have the privilege to. And also, just do want to echo from the parent perspective that they may not. And it's their choice. It's the parents' job to follow their kids' lead and trust them and know that they're doing what's right for them. You can't force any of this on them. But also, I do want to say, Jackie, since you mentioned the privilege of being able to afford therapy, there are a lot of organizations now offering free therapy for people in the LGBTQ community. And so two resources just really broadly nationally that you can look to are PFLAG and the Trevor Project. And I know that they have lots of lists of resources in there. I know in Los Angeles, there are a couple of organizations that provide therapy to transgender people completely free. I imagine it might be challenging to get a spot right away, and you have to navigate that system to get in. But it is becoming more common for that to be offered. So please don't give up if you are looking for that kind of support. There are resources out there. And I would also urge you to go to our website, transgenderschool.org, where we have a long, long document that lists all our recommended resources. And there are resources and organizations in different states even listed that you can go to and ask where you can get support.
Thank you. I think that's a really important reminder. So yeah, definitely check out our resource list at transgenderschool.org. If you have the privilege of living in a bigger city, check out your local LGBT center or the local LGBT center in the city closest to you. There are a lot of great resources out there.
Yeah. So thanks everybody for listening to a little more of our story. We've been doing this for over 3 years now, so we hope you're still finding it valuable, and we'd love to hear from you. I really want to impart that your reviews and subscribing make a big difference for us. And also, if there's any way that you can afford $5 a month to support our work, there are many costs that go into running Transgender School. We so appreciate our Patreon members. You can go to Patreon at patreon.com/transgenderschool. And if you can do $5 a month, that helps us out tremendously. It helps us to do more of this work. And you can support that by funding it with $5 a month, if you can. If you can't, of course, we understand. And we're going to keep doing tons for free. This podcast is free. And we do a lot of work out there in the world. So we appreciate any kind of support. And if you can't, you know, support financially, if you can support with ratings, reviews, subscribing to our podcast on Apple or Spotify, and also subscribing to our YouTube page, all the links are always right here, wherever you are watching or listening to this podcast episode.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our work, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to our Transgender School podcast. We hope you learned something new and that you're inspired to learn more.
If you enjoyed our conversation, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. And please be sure to check out our website, transgenderschool.org. You'll find many valuable resources there, including news about upcoming courses we'll be teaching.
Make sure to join us for future podcast episodes. We'll catch you on the first Tuesday of every month.